Greetings and welcome to Soundography, a crash course in music, one band at a time. I'm Brian Ibbett.
And I am Hammond Chamberlain.
And today we are delving back into one of our regular scheduled regular episodes we do once every season. Instead of focusing on one band or one group or even a genre, we're taking a whole year and putting it under the microscope. And this is a good year. We say that every single time, but I'm really excited about this, the year we've picked, because it's one I kind of would have thought, all right, well, we had the end of New Wave and kind of, you know, that sound and the stuff that kind of came with it. We hadn't really gotten into the grunge or the rock of the 90s yet. So it was kind of like one of these in-between periods and maybe without identity. But I found some stuff I really, really liked that gave it its own identity.
Now, this was a long, deep walk down memory lane with lots of alleys to follow and little offshoots and grungy bars to walk into. And it was shocking how much good came out of this. Now, with that being said, I will say this. There are so many good songs and bands that came out in 1988. I am sure we're going to skip your favorite.
We're definitely going to.
So, if you have a favorite that we skipped, instead of getting mad about it, send it to us. And we might bring it up in one of those appendix episodes we kicked around about like the updates.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, you guys did that with Current Geek, which I thought was a really good idea. We could easily do that with Soundography.
Yeah, because we kicked around the idea of like doing the what's happened to these people since we covered them.
Yeah.
And this would be a good one because I am sure that if you were around in 88, you have something that we're not talking about.
Totally. And so speaking of, and we finally did say it's 1988 we're talking about. what was going on in Hammond Chamberlain's life in 1988?
So I graduated in May of 88. I turned 17 in April of 88. And I started college in fall, like September of 88. And I was working at a place called the Ivy Tower. It was a dance club in Provo, Utah. And it had three floors. It had the main floor, which was like the top 40 dance floor. Then it had the new wave floor, which played a lot of it had lots of fog machines and guys pretending to be airplanes as they danced. And then they had the soul cellar, which played R&B and hip hop hits.
The soul cellar. Yeah. Oh, that's great. Oh my God. That's awesome. I graduated in 87 as well. So this was my first full year of college. And it was, you know, a lot of discovering new music based on people in the dorm for the first part of 88 and then moving into an apartment for the second half. A bunch of different jobs around that time. I think that was the era where I was a porcelain doll painter. Painting porcelain dolls for a company, like little clown porcelain dolls. I worked at a
Hold on. Let's not gloss over the fact that you created nightmares for a living.
Yeah, I totally did. I've got one of those nightmares on my bookshelf. I should probably take a photo and maybe put it somewhere where people can see. Oh my God, this is the kind of stuff Brian was making. Worked at a Little Caesars pizza for a while in '88. I mean, '88 was really me bouncing around from crappy job to crappy job until I found something that I liked. But it was a lot of it was, you know, discovering some new bands that I liked and discovering new bands that we had some great radio stations out here that would play these up and coming artists. KBCO still known across the country for being back then an innovator in breakthrough artists and a lot of the stuff that we'll talk about in today's show. And in my playlist are stuff that came from that KBCO reveal.
Yeah.
Which is great.
So what I think we will do is like we've done the last couple of times is you'll mention the month. I'll run through a few of the albums real quick and then we'll get to some of the details.
Perfect. I love this. Okay. All right. Let's start with January.
So Marillion released Beside Themselves. LA Guns released an album. The Kinks released an album. Blow Up Your Video, was it by AC/DC, Social Distortion, The Pogues, Megadeth, Taylor Dane, The Cross, David Lee Roth, James Taylor released Never Die Young, Frontline Assembly, State of Mind, Billy Ocean, Tear Down These Walls, and a band called 808 State released New Build.
808 State. That's awesome. The Kinks, by the way, we kind of glossed over. Well, not glossed over it, but was that, that was Think Visual. So it wasn't their last.
No, there was a live. It was a live album that they released in January. It's called Live The Road.
Oh, okay. Well, I also show, oh, never mind. That was 86 was, right. So that's right. It was a live album, but it wasn't, I keep forgetting that they put out more stuff after the Come Dancing album, which is where, which in my mind was the end of the Kinks. But that's not at all the case. That's really funny.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So as far as events that happened that month, in January 20th, the Beach Boys, the Beatles, the Drifters, Bob Dylan, and the Supremes all got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
All right. So I don't know when this happened, but that Kokomo song by the Beach Boys, that came out in 88. And that has cursed us as a society since. And there are two
certainly
other...
Certainly the people of Indiana.
Yeah. Well, I just think that that's one of those ones that it was so overplayed and so beaten into our collective consciousness that once. Either you grew to love it because of repetition or you grew to hate it because of repetition.
Yeah. Yeah, it was... I can't imagine the person who loved it because it just felt like such a declaration by the Beach Boys that they had just given up and said, you know what?
I love the fact that you use declaration, which is a very resounding statement by definition of giving up.
It is. It totally is. It's like, it's basically the Beach Boys saying, yeah, we're just not going to try as hard anymore. We think that Starship had exactly the right idea, so we're going to kind of do that sort of thing.
Yep.
Yeah. let's do a throwaway soundtrack song and make up a name that we think sounds really tropical, but in fact is a city in the middle of Indiana.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like they'd never heard of Kokomo, Indiana, and thought, oh, that sounds so tropical. Wonder where that came from. And then realized, oh, I guess it's Indiana. that thing was such an aberration. As far as like, you know, we built this city levels of, you guys were so great at one time.
Yeah. That's it.
But the fact that all those bands were like Bob Dylan and the Beach Boys and the Beatles all getting inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that year in 1988 feels to me like it has to be one of the earliest years of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Had the, had the building, like the actual museum and everything been built?
I don't know the history of the museum itself. Maybe that's something we should cover sometime.
I think it'd be really cool. Yeah. Foundation was started in 1983. So it had already been around. Here we go. The foundation began inducting artists in 86.
Oh, so only a couple of years. It is an early class.
It's an early class, you'd think. I mean, I guess your first class had to have Elvis Presley and Bill Haley and the Comets and stuff like that in it.
Yeah.
They picked Cleveland in 1986 as the location for the building, and the groundbreaking took place in 1993.
And you've been there, right?
I have been there,
I have not. I would still like to go.
It's cool. It's such a really, it's a cool building, and it's, they've got so much memorabilia. I've been to the Experience Music Project in Seattle and even in a couple of the like Hard Rock cafes, you get some of this stuff where you see the actual handwritten lyrics that John Lennon wrote to Imagine. That one's in, that one's in Seattle. No, I take that back. That one is at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but there's another one that Seattle has. And a bunch of the old Jimi Hendrix stuff and Heart and bands that were specifically from Seattle. Of course, the whole grunge wing.
Well, you have the Sir Mix-a-Lot, you know, level and the Queensryche wing.
Yeah, the Sir Mix-a-Lot level. Uh-huh, yeah. For sure. All right. So also in January, David Lee Roth released Skyscraper, which featured Steve Vai on guitar.
Zombie moon, you feel the winds of change. Oh, the drums will.
on January 28th, a Florida man, filed a lawsuit against Motley Crue claiming that he posed as Nikki Sixx in 83 to 84.
Okay, so this guy had a history of mental health issues, but weirdly enough, that suit was not dropped until 1993.
Wow. So did he have mental health issues or metal health issues?
Oh, because I hear mental health will drive you mad.
That's what I hear. So you're the only cure is to bang your head. Let's go to February. What albums came out in February?
All right. So February, we had an album by UFO, Leonard Cohen. We're about to mention Lita Ford. Freely's Comet. Widespread Panic released an album. I think of Widespread Panic as being newer. But
they totally think of them as the 90s. Yeah. 90s era.
Like a horde band.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Sting released Nada Come El Sol, Como El Sol.
Okay.
The Church released Starfish.
Well, nothing like, he released Nothing Like the Sun in 87. Uh-huh. And then he released the Spanish version of the album in 88. Uh-huh. I forgot about that.
Yeah. The Church released Starfish. Zodiac, Mind Warp, and The Love Reaction released Tattooed Beat Messiah. Then Biz Markie, The Ghetto Boys, Kingdom Come, Robert Plant released Now and Zen, The Mission, Kevin Ayers, Stacey Q, and Everything But the Girl, Ted Nugent, and Nick Lowe all released albums in February.
Very cool. So on the 20th of that month, as you mentioned, Lita Ford, former Runaway Lita Ford, released her first self-titled solo debut album. I heard she went to a party Saturday night.
Yeah, she didn't get laid and she got in a fight.
Well, ain't no big thing. Let's talk about March. What came out in March?
All right, so I'm just going to read the list, and if there's something that strikes your fancy, you can hit me and tell me to hit pause and we can cover it. So Toto, The Beatles released a compilation album, Honeymoon Suite, Prefab Sprout, Morrissey.
Love Prefab Sprout.
Really, do you?
I do. That's a band that, you hear that name only because it's like, oh yeah, I remember seeing them once in the indie bin at the local record store under P when I was looking for Pretenders.
Actually, I just think of it as something that happens when you go to the grocery store and you can't find a real sprout.
You just get a prefab sprout. Yes. No, they're Patty McAloon, if I remember correctly, is the lead singer of Prefab Sprout. And they exemplified that sound of the late 80s as well for me. I'm surprised I didn't come across them when I was making my list of music for my playlist.
Yeah. So let's see. Morrissey, The Talking Heads, The Smithereens, The Pixies, Joni Mitchell, Fate's Warning, Crocus. And there's a joke about Crocus that they released so many albums that you could just guess the title and you cover it probably. I feel like they cranked out an album like every 4 to 6 weeks. It was crazy how many albums Crocus put out. Dougie Fresh released The World's Greatest Entertainer, King's X, which we covered, if you remember, Out of the Silent Planet.
I was going to play up the joke of like, who? I should have.
Fastway released On Target. Now, I'm going to ask you a trivia question.
Yeah.
Can you name the soundtrack of the movie, or name the movie that Fastway did the soundtrack for?
Oh, geez. Oh, all right, this is really funny. I was thinking, oh yeah, they did the song called The Honey Thief. But no, that was Hipsway, not Fastway. Fastway, what movie did they do the soundtrack for? Would it have been 88?
I think it's 86 or 87 when it came out.
Did they do the whole soundtrack?
They did all of it. They did all of it.
I'm going to guess Gleaming the Cube.
No, but that's not a bad choice. I think more of a punk band would have done that one.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Well, I don't know. I don't know what Fastway sounds like.
It was a movie called Trick or Treat, It had Skippy from, it had Skippy from Family Ties. And it had Gene Simmons and Ozzy Osbourne in it for like 4 hot seconds each. And it was about
the one that's called Trick or Treat? No, that's like a horror movie with a little.
No, that one came out in like an early 2000s. This one's in the late 80s.
Gotcha.
And it's got those guys in it. And it's about playing a record backwards. And they bring back the demonic lead singer and he wreaks havoc on a small town.
Oh, and so Fastway is actually the band in the movie as well.
They did all the music. They had actors and things like that do the lip syncing.
Oh, that's funny.
But it's one of my favorite bad movies.
That sounds great. It sounds horrible and great.
It is the reason I got into podcasting. That movie,
really?
Yes. I sent that movie to some friends to watch for a movie show. They like, if you're going to make us watch this garbage, you're going to watch it too. And so I watched it. They had me on as a guest and I walked upstairs and never turned back.
Huh. Oh, that's crazy. That is really, really crazy. Pump Up the Volume was probably as much, if there was any movie that I could say made me want to be a podcaster, that was probably, the one, because it was the closest thing to in-home DJ podcasting kind of thing that was in movies that around that time.
Yep.
That's really cool. So also in March, on March 10th, Andy Gibb died 5 days after his 30th birthday.
And to bring the mood back up, if it weren't for this year, we would not have the Rickroll.
Yes, let me make sure to give people a link where they can find out more about everything we talked about.
Follow the show notes.
God. Also in March, on the 26th, Man in the Mirror by Michael Jackson's from his album Bad reached number one for the first time, making it the first time ever that a solo artist had 4 number one songs from the same album. It's really cool. On the 29th of that month, He's the DJ, I'm the Rapper was released by DJ Jazzy Jeff and Fresh Prince. Yep.
So there was also a song that came out in 88 by Pebbles. I don't know if you remember this song.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
An unjustified strong dislike for the song. I have no idea why. I remember vividly hating the song, and the hate became so legendary that when I graduated, some friends of mine gave me a framed 45 of the single, and it's somewhere in a box somewhere still to this day.
That's fantastic. Yeah, it really sounds. I love those gag gifts, and you kind of feel obligated now to it looks like a platinum record on your wall, doesn't it?
Actually, it's in a box. I want to find it so I can hang it because now it matters. I have a place to hang it.
Oh, there you go. Perfect. all right. So that's March. Let's move over to April. What albums came out that
month? So Ziggy Marley and the Melody Makers released something. Then Sade. Yngwie Malmsteen released Odyssey, which I really enjoyed that album. I don't know if it held up, but I loved that album at the time. Butthole Surfers, Iron Maiden, Neil Young and the Blue Notes. Weird Al released Even Worse. Lap of Luxury was Cheap Trick. Glass Tiger. Oh my gosh, Glass Tiger. I forgot about them.
Oh, they sang Don't Forget Me When I'm Gone.
Yeah, and I totally forgot about them.
Yeah.
The Cross, Tracy Chapman. She wrote a fast song. The Scorpions, Jesus and the Mary Chain, Timbuk3, Erasure, Reba McEntire, Soul Asylum, Hawkwind, Frank Zappa, Thomas Dolby, Breathe, Eric Clapton, Jane Wedlin, Sophia Rotrou, The Fall, I'll Be Sure, The Sugar Cubes, Graham Parker, Jerry Rafferty, all released albums in April.
That's cool. Yeah, I'm going to be talking about at least one of those. We both will actually be talking about at least one of those in our playlists.
What, you picked more Reba songs? Really?
Yeah, that's exactly. And Hawkwind. also in April, Alice Cooper almost died when the prop gallows that he uses on stage malfunctioned. So gallows, this is not the
the guillotine.
No,
he almost hanged himself.
Wow, man. You know, with as many Spinal Tap-like moments as there are in rock and roll, it is kind of surprising that we don't have more stories of a morbid goth rocker accidentally doing the thing that he's trying to simulate doing on stage.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Accidental death by swallowing razor blades. And, you know, they're fake, but he chokes on them instead. That kind of thing.
Right, exactly. Yes. also in that month, Sonny Bono became the mayor of Palm Springs, the late, great Sonny Bono. Well, he wasn't late then, obviously. Doc McGee is sentenced to 5 years probation after pleading guilty to drug smuggling.
So it was based on a seizure in 1982 and had almost 40,000 pounds of pot. Also, that was my birthday.
in totally unrelated news.
I can tell you exactly what I did. I did the senior prom fashion show that day.
Did you really? Yep. Oh, that's funny. The next day, gangster rap got its soundtrack when the movie Colors was released. Vendetta's a death, that's the colors I choose. Red or blue, cuz of blood, it just don't matter. Something died for your life when my shotgun scattered. Colors, the gangs of L.A. will never die. Just multiply colors.
Colors. I wish that movie were better. I love the soundtrack. I wish the movie were a little bit better.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff like that where the soundtrack is just great and the movie just doesn't live up to the greatness that the soundtrack was able to provide. Sad. Celine Dion on the 30th of April wins the Eurovision Song Contest.
Yep.
Which has also been won by bands like ABBA and didn't Ace of Base win? Yeah, it's so hard for me to remember like who competed and who actually won.
Yeah. I was going to say, you're more likely to know who wins Eurovision. I'm more likely to know who won the Metal Hammer Awards that year.
Right. Yes. Yes. It was. And the answer is always Jethro Tull, right? Isn't that what it is? Let's talk about May. What albums came out in May?
All right. So Melitha Etheridge.
easy for you to say.
She released her self-titled album.
Her debut. Yeah.
The Madness, which is a ska band.
Not The Madness. They're just Madness, aren't they?
No, The Madness, according to what I'm reading.
Oh, okay.
There could be a Madness band. There could be The and The Madness.
Oh, could be. I mean, but two ska bands called Madness and The Madness? Come on.
Hey, you never know. Stranger things
could
happened.
Be. Totally could be. Could be.
Then Poison released Open Up and Say Ah. Queensryche, Bruce Hornsby and The Range. Aha, Living Color. I'm going to talk about them later. Testament. Teddy Pendergrass, Prince, Screaming Trees. Frank Zappa again, because, you know, he could only release four or five albums a year.
Right.
Blind Guardian, John Anderson, Judas Priest, Cinderella, Rod Stewart, Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, Van Halen, Camper Van Beethoven, Freely's Comet, Bob Dylan, Boogie Down Productions, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Wire, Joe Jackson, Hot House Flowers, Herbie Hancock, and Pantera. Oh, and Diva.
Wow.
And Devo.
It was so hard for me. I mean, we're going to talk about Aha and... we're not going to talk about Aha. I was really close to having an Aha song in my playlist. I mean, basically, I'm still looking at a 31 song. Here are all my favorites from 1988. I whittled it down to 11 for our playlist, but
I had a folder on my desktop that at one point had 216 songs.
Jeez.
I was able to whittle some of them away because we are doing another genre that some of those fall into later on.
Yeah.
And then I went through and was like, okay, which ones do I have like actual emotional attachment to? Kind of like I Marie Kondo'd my way through them.
Mm-hmm. Does it bring you joy? Does it spark joy?
And then I was able to whittle down to 11 as well. So we both have bonus. And it sounds like we could have done like a big bonus show.
Cool. All right. Well, we'll have to do that. Let me give you an answer, by the way, on The Madness.
Okay.
So in 1985, Madness released the album Mad Not Mad. And they started to record it, get ready for a new album and get stuff written and get ready to release it. And the band started arguing and fighting and basically broke up. So in September 86, they split up. After that, four of the original members, Suggs, who's the lead vocalist, the voice you connect with Madness, saxophonist Lee Thompson, guitarist Chris Foreman, and vocalist Cathal Smith, decided to create a new band called The Madness. They released one album that was called The Madness. and then that was it until the band got back together in 1990, 2 years later, and back to the name Madness. So that's really funny.
There's a huge asterisk next to that whole entry.
There really is, yeah. Bruce Thomas and Steve Naive from Elvis Costello, The Attractions, were added to the band. Earl Falconer from UB40. I mean, this is like the best Madness album I don't have that I've never even heard of because it isn't one that
popped up on your list.
Popped up on my list. How crazy is that?
So do you think the guy from UB40 brought red wine when he came?
I'm sure he did. I'm sure he did, Hammond. You know, that's a cover, man. Come on. It's a cover.
Yes, but they popularized it.
They made it their own for sure. Yeah, without a doubt. So talking about some of these albums and other things that happened that month, May 3rd, you mentioned Queensryche. Operation Mindcrime is the album that got released on that day.
A list of your best concept albums of all time. This has to be on there or we're not friends.
what's the story behind what's the concept of the album?
You're inside of a mental hospital and it's you're dealing with that kind of stuff.
I know, Hammond, but what's the concept of the album?
It's really good. I remember vividly laying on the floor of my dorm with headphones on, like big old Mickey Mouse headphones on,
yeah,
with the lights off, just listening to that thing permeate my brain.
That's cool. Very cool. May 14th, Atlantic Records celebrated its 40th birthday with a concert at Madison Square Garden featuring Crosby, Stills, and Nash, Iron Butterfly, and Led Zeppelin with Jason Bonham on drums. A couple days later, on the 17th, Tougher Than Leather by Run DMC was released. On the 27th, Monsters of Rock 88 tour started in Wisconsin. Van Halen headlined with Metallica, Scorpions, Dokken, and Kingdom Come in supporting positions.
I went to high school in Hawaii, and two bands that kind of ran through 88, kind of almost unnoticed by a lot of people. Well, they had some hits, but they're forgotten about are the Jets and Glenn Medeiros.
Yeah.
And
well, Glenn Medeiros might as well be forgotten. Nothing's going to change my love for but you.
Since they were both from Hawaii, you ended up kind of running into people who knew them or going to high school with them or being friends with them. And they were always around in conversation and activities that I go to, especially the Jets. Yeah, when I was in high school, it was kind of weird when I realized that. Oh, that's the Jets. Jets.
Is that the band that did "Crush on You"?
Yes. Uh huh.
Okay.
And yeah, Glenn Medeiros. Right. Okay. All Glenn right. Medeiros is now a dean or something at a high school in Hawaii. Yeah.
Huh. God, I wonder if his. Students, you know, kind of tease him about his kind of one-hit wonder status. Was he in Hawaii? Was he a one-hit wonder as much as he was on the continental?
No, because when he played all the songs and everyone knew his stuff. That's the thing about Hawaii is once you're known by like four people,
microcosm.
Yeah, once you're known by four people, you're known by everybody. It's just the way the state works. Right. And so when it's not uncommon to be a big fish in a small pond there, and it's weird because even with the stuff I did, I got this inflated sense of self. And then when I got to college, I'm like, oh no, everyone that does these things is better than I am.
Yeah. Aw. One last note about May. On May 31st, Dougie Fresh's World's Greatest Entertainer was released. That's been selected. You tape them on your tape and then eject it. From your box, I'm run down the block. And now the whole neighborhood's in a state of shock. Feel electricity. You wonder who's he. The rhyme seems to change and it varies in different forms and different sizes. It paralyzes and energizes and it surprises me. I thought you knew. You don't know who it is. Huh? Guess who? I take time and patience. Dougie Fresh. Let's talk about June. What happened in June?
Man, many albums were released. I'm gonna see if I can do the Micro Mini Machines guy.
Okay.
All right. Kim Wilde, Britney Fox, The Moody Blues, EPMD, Bolt Thrower, Status Quo, Womack and Womack, Paula Abdul, Nuclear Assault, Georgia Satellites. Those are three names you never see run together in real life. Paula Abdul, Nuclear Assault, and the Georgia Satellites. Voice Very of the Beehive. True, yes. Jimmy Page, Chicago, Style Council, Saxon, Bobby Brown, New Edition, Iggy Pop, Information Society, Big Daddy Kane, Book of Love, Steve Winwood, Robert Palmer, Eighth Wonder, Elton John, Jethro Tull, Riders in the Sky, Striper, Public Enemy, Amy Grant, Voivod, Michael Franks, The Fat Boys, Patti Smith, Deep Purple, Killing Joke, Scritti Politti, Huey Lewis the News, Big Audio Dynamite, and Why Can't Tori Read?
Why Can't Tori Read, by the way, was the original band that Tori Amos was the vocalist for before going solo.
That's sad they named it after her disability.
Yeah. Well, whoever named that band couldn't spell either because it was the letter Y, K-A-N-T, if I remember correctly.
Yep, it is, yep.
Yeah, Why Can't Tori. And they spelled Reed correctly, ironically.
Yeah.
Also in June, JJ Fad released Supersonic.
That was another song that was everywhere for like 2.5 weeks.
God, I don't remember it at all. I'm going to go listen to it.
If you're lucky, I'll drop a sample in right about here.
Look at that. That was cool. June 27th, Motown Records is sold to MCA for $61 million. Wow, this is huge. And this summer, the song Heard It Through the Grapevine had a resurgence because of a bunch of dried fruit. Yes, the California Raisins and their Claymation ad helped it reach 84 in the top 100. Also in June, on the 28th, Public Enemy released It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back. And then also Striper released In God We Trust. It's been said anytime. let's talk about July. What came out in July?
All right. So we had Kylie Minogue, Slayer, which I can't wait for us to cover because your reaction is going to be brilliant.
Can't wait.
Joy Division, UB40, The Escape Club, Magnum, Brian Wilson, Kim Carnes, Thompson Twins, Blue Oyster Cult, Sam Phillips, Little Feat, Carcass, which I thought they were, not as early on as this, but I guess so. Crowded House, Felt, Pat Benatar.
Yeah, definitely going to be talking about a couple of those in my list, as people might guess.
NWA and Carcass?
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know me and the band Carcass. If Carcass is playing, Brian's a listening. Bring on the Carcass music. Anyway, on July 2nd, Dirty Diana from Michael Jackson's Bad album reached number one, breaking the record that he set earlier in the year. So now 5 number ones from the same album.
He's the first and only male artist to ever do this.
That's amazing. So amazing. That's really all that we have news-wise for July. Let's move over to August.
All right. August. Now we have Bruce Springsteen, Gregory Isaacs, Dwight Yoakam, Carly Simon, Salt and Pepper, Eric B. and Rakim, Marty Friedman, NWA, a Winger, Death, Glenn Frey, The Wonder Stuff, Bad Company, Jane's Addiction, Corey Hart, Helloween, Yanni, Danzig, Bob Skaggs, John Hyatt, The Go-Betweens, Sparks, The Proclaimers, Santana.
And it's funny because while a lot of, you know, when you're listing the bands that released albums, there's a lot of these that I'm saying, oh my God, how come those guys didn't come up? Or how come I didn't pick these guys? Without the album titles, it's like, oh yeah, they really released a stinker of an album that year.
Well, so here's the funny thing is I had this list. I think that's why my list was so substantial.
200. Yeah. Right.
Because I had all this information and I kept pulling these songs in going, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. And yeah. I had to at some point kind of turn off my brain and just go with my heart.
That's what I did is basically I just created a smart playlist in iTunes and said, all right, pull everything from my library that came out in 1988. And it's easily possible that there's stuff on greatest hits albums that even though it came out in that year, it's on a greatest hits album, which was released years later. So yeah. I wouldn't have it in my list. So,
and that actually goes into the weird trivia that's kind of like non sequitur. So I'll say it now. So there's a band called Sheriff and they released a song in 1983 called When I'm With You. Mm-hmm. It was re-released for some reason in 1988 and it became a huge hit. I live for nobody, but I live for you. Ooh, babe, lost in love is what I
kind of like what happened with Bohemian Rhapsody and Wayne's World. And I heard it through the grapevine, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly,
re-release
yeah.
that made it a big hit. Even though it was released a lot earlier. Interesting, yep. though. All right. So talking about other things that happened in August. On August 8th, NWA released Straight Outta Compton, landmark album.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
And August 12th, Public Enemy puts on a concert at Rikers Island for 250 inmates and 100 journalists.
And no social distancing.
That's right. On the 29th, Helloween released Keeper of the Seven Keys, Part 2. And that wraps up August. How about September? What do we got?
All right. Wow. Okay. September, Celtic Frost, Susie and the Banshees, The Smiths, New Kids on the Block, Metallica's And Justice for All, Bad Religion, Gwar, Skinny Puppy, Eazy-E, Suicidal Tendencies, Ice-T, K King Diamond, Fishbone, Napalm Death, Talk Talk, Run DMC, Cocteau Twins, Bon Jovi, Anthrax, Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, Enya. Oh yeah, remember that like 2 week run where everyone listened to chanting?
And over Orinoco Flow, yeah.
Yeah. Luther Vandross, Bullet Boys, Billy Bragg, Anvil, They Might Be Giants released Lincoln. Yeah. Oingo Boingo, MC Hammer, Ozzy Osbourne, Tom Waits, Phil Collins, Los Lobos, Rob Bass and DJ Easy Rock, Randy Newman, Gary Newman, Big Country, Level 42, and Vixen.
Wow. God, so much in that list. And, you know, this is basically 1988. We're just seeing a lot of the bands that were huge in the earlier part of the 80s finally release like their mature albums or their We're Still Around kind of albums.
Well, it also feels like a dovetailing because this is the time where older bands were starting to kind of fade out and newer bands are starting to come in. And so there are a lot of debut albums. There are a lot of landmark albums. There are a lot of establishing albums. And it's this weird dovetail between what's going to happen in 91 when grunge takes over and what happened in the late 70s, early 80s, as far as some of those like other bands kind of reaching ends of contracts and trying to rediscover what's going to happen to them as they move on.
Right. No, totally true. Totally true. So also in September on the 1st, Sir Mix-a-Lot released Swaz or Swass.
It's Swass.
Swass. Well, I was thinking Swatch. Swass.
No, don't you think what's your boyfriend was Swass like me? Or you must be wag. My neck, buying pounds of gold with royalty checks, and I'm Swass. Don't you wish your boyfriend was Swass like me? Swass. Don't you wish your boyfriend was Swass like me? Swass. Don't you wish your boyfriend? There you go.
I'm
embarrassed that I still know that so well.
I'm just gonna make a Swass of myself. September 7th, and Justice for All is released by some. Who knows, you know, never heard of them before, M-named band. And then September 10th, Billboard published the Hot Modern Rock Tracks for the very first time, adding a new category for them to keep track of. September 13th, Eazy-E, Ice-T, and MC Light all release albums, big competitors. September 20th, Rob Bass and DJ Easy Rock, as you mentioned earlier, It Takes Two gets released. To get down, I'm not internationally known, but I'm known to rock the microphone because I get stupid. I mean outrageous. As well as State of Euphoria by Anthrax. And on the 28th, MC Hammer released Let's Get It Started. Or is it Young MC?
No.
Or is it Young MC Hammer?
Ball-peen Hammer.
Ball-peen Hammer. Ball-peen Hammer, don't hurt him. I might have to use that as a trivia name. Ball-peen Hammer, don't hurt him.
And your buddy Tack.
Right? Tack Hammer, don't hurt him.
He also dresses poorly.
Oh, jeez. Wow. That joke aspires to be a dad joke. Like, it looks enviously at dad jokes. Did you mute? I was going to say I lost you for a second there.
No, I leaned back in my chair. I was laughing.
Gotcha. All right, good. All right, let's move over to, nothing for October. Let's move over to November.
Do the albums?
Maybe you've got, let's do albums for October.
Okay, so Chris DeBerg released Flying Colors. Keith Richards released Talk Is Cheap. Kenny G released Silhouette. Let's not forget about that. Let's see. Bathroy released an album. Freddie Mercury released an album. John Lennon et al. Released John Lennon Imagine. It's a soundtrack. Mm-hmm. U2 released Rattle and Hum, Pet Shop Boys, Ministry, Sarah McLachlan, another Frank Zappa album. That's three this year.
Banner year for Frank Zappa.
Motorhead, Chris Rea, Duran Duran released Big Thing. The Bangles released Everything. Anita Baker, Paul Simon, Sonic Youth, Traveler and Wilburys released Volume Part 1. Martika, you know, Step by Step.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. One Tin Soldier.
Yep. Yeah.
Not one Tin Soldier, just Tin Soldiers.
Roxette, Dead Can Dance, Barbara Streisand, Frank Zappa. Oh, twice in 1 month.
What? Really?
Yeah. Mike and the Mechanics with the Living Years. Paul McCartney, Soundgarden released an album, their debut. Richard Thompson, American Music Club, The Waterboys, Kansas, Dire Straits released Money for Nothing, which is listed as a compilation.
Money for Nothing is a compilation.
Oh, that's right. It's their Brothers in Arms was the album. Very okay.
Yeah.
Right. Julian Cope and Quiet Riot and T'Pau.
Oh,
sounds like a sounds like a character from Mortal Kombat. Yep, well, very good.
It's a character from Star Trek.
Yes, it is.
T'Pau was Spock's mom, I think.
But it also should be a character from Mortal Kombat.
Should be, or at least the sound they make when they attack. Yeah, and T'Pau is one of those that's like, okay, for sure, one hit wonder, right? Because Heart and Soul was a hit and nothing else. But no, in the UK, she actually had a really, and I want to say she, even though it was the band, hit with a song called China in Your Hand from that same album, yeah. Which I actually have that album in my library, surprise.
Wow.
We should do the discography of T'Pau someday.
It could be a, you got to listen. You got to listen to that because there's only a couple.
That's true. Yeah, that's very true. All right, so that covers October. Now tell us about November albums.
All right, so Harry Connick Jr., Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Yellow, Slick Rick, Roberta Flack. We're going to mention one of these in a minute, so I'm going to skip it.
Ofra Haza. So I'll interrupt. Egyptian singer-songwriter that, or maybe she's Iranian, but she worked with Thomas Dolby, who also released an album this year, although not the one that contained Ofra's vocals. But the two of them worked together. Really cool world music combination those two had, Ofra Haza and Thomas Dolby.
There was a collection that came out called Just Say Now.
Yeah, was that this year too? Was that 88?
I don't know if it was this year, but my roommate in college, he had the Just Say Mal that had the Ofra Haza song on it.
Galbi, I think, was the song.
I cannot remember the name of it, but I just remember that I really, really liked it.
Yeah, that was such a great song. It was like such an unusual release. Let's see. It came out 1989.
Okay.
Just Say Mal. And yeah, had Figures on a Beach, Erasure, Underworld, Danielle Dax, who was this close to ending up in my top 10 list. Ofra Haza, Dale Dale, Tom Club. Yeah, so good.
That was a great disc. If anyone's looking for a disc that kind of sums up music of that era, that's a great disc. Actually, there are a couple. There's
I was going to say the whole series of them. Just Say Yes was the first one, 87. And that had some great, like a great Depeche Mode song on it. And we talked about them. You mentioned them earlier. Female new wave band, all female, not Tom Tom Club, but something along those lines.
Escape Club? No.
No. I just got to pull up the album and look at it. Oh, they must have been... Book of Love is what I'm thinking.
I have actually on my phone right now, I have Witchcraft and their cover of Tubular Bells on my phone right now.
Yes. Oh, their Tubular Bells is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that whole series, I mean, you get, it was Just Say Yo that had Galbi by Ofra Haza.
Yeah.
Morrissey, Katie Lang, Depeche Mode, The Wild Swans, Erasure.
This is like the cool version of Now That's What I Call Music.
It really is. And it was, this was like the album that you picked up. Like, you know, everybody had a copy of this. Mm-hmm. And if they didn't, they you know, somehow cassette recorded a copy of their friend's version. Oh, so good. It was mixes and extended versions and stuff like that. Really, really cool series. I miss those. Is that all for the albums? I know I interrupted it. Ofer-Hausa.
Let's see. Let me get back to October. What are we at? November?
We're at November, and Ofer-Hausa was the one where I derailed.
Okay.
It.
Then we have whatever's after that. Wet, 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 Aerosmith, REM, The Jungle Brothers, Milli Vanilli, Fleetwood Mac, Journey, released the greatest hits album with two extra tracks. Robert O'Keefe, Cowboy Junkies, Dokken released Beast from the East, which is a live album. Manowar, My Bloody Valentine, Bette Midler released Beaches as a soundtrack. Chaka Khan, Pink Floyd, Delicate Sound of Thunder, Candlemass, Ancient Dreams, Hold Me in Your Arms by Rick Astley, Guns N' Roses released Lies, Happy Mondays, Tiffany, and Joe Jackson.
Okay. Wow. Well, that Joe Jackson, I think, must have been a...
It was a soundtrack called Tucker.
That's right. It was the Tucker soundtrack. Yep. That's why I didn't include anything on there. Yeah. This was like... This is while people... This was while people still liked Milli Vanilli before the next year when it was like, hey, it looks like they might be lip syncing on on MTV here. And then it just got really bad after that. In 1989, those poor guys. Also in November, Rat released Reach for the Sky,
which had Way Cool Jr. on it. And it was officially, in my opinion, probably by everybody else's opinion, gospel doctrine, maybe, that it was the last good Rat album.
Really? Yeah. Wow. November 7th, John Fogerty wins a self-plagiarism lawsuit with Fantasy Records. They contended that Old Man Down the Road was too similar to his own band's, Creedence Clearwater Revival's song, Run Through the Jungle.
It's a weird lawsuit to have to
really deal with. Is. Like, did he have to get up and sit at the plaintiffs' and the defendants' tables when it was...
and sing them? I mean, right, either way, he wins, right? So it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't know how that all works.
I wonder if it's like a publishing rights, maybe? I don't know.
That's probably it. Yeah, exactly. Wow. On the 12th, U2's Rattle and Hum reaches number one on the U.S. charts. That covers November. Let's get to December. What albums got released?
All right. So Jerry Garcia, he released Almost Acoustic. Anna Vissi released an album. Neil Diamond, Best Years of Our Lives, and Sub Pop 200 was released, and it contained it was a compilation of various artists from Sub Pop.
Also in that month, Roy Orbison's last concert on December 4th, he died of a heart attack soon after. And I wonder if it's that Black and White Night that was the that amazing concert with the other Traveling Wilburys and basically every name that I'd mention after that would be other members of the Traveling Wilburys, but it had a bunch of people on. It was really, really cool. And then on the 31st, you had New Year's Rockin' Eve, which had special guests Natalie Cole, Taylor Dane, DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, Richard Marx, Reba McEntire, and Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons.
So interesting lineup when you look back over time.
No kidding. I mean, such different directions, although, you know, DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, not the French Prince, and the French Press. it just gave me an idea for a great coffee commercial is DJ Jazzy Jeff and the French Press.
Yep.
All of these are kind of pop acts for as much as they're a country crossover, a rap crossover, a soul crossover. It's all kind of the same.
Well, it was a top 40. It was top 40 and it covered all of the top 40.
Exactly. And if you look at this list, can you guess which one of these people I follow on Twitter and enjoy their tweets immensely every day?
Probably Richard Marx.
It is exactly Richard Marx. Yeah. He and his wife, Daisy Fuentes, have the best tweets. They're just great. Love the stuff that he says in tweets. I like him so much more now than I did back in 1988.
As long as they don't go to Nebraska town, I think he's fine.
Would they go there and hold on to the Knights? Hammond, what other events happened in 1988?
So I actually put in the notes. This was in Brian's column. We learned about columns last episode.
Yes.
This column was actually in Brian's, but then after typing, I'm like, I could read that if you want. So it moved over to mine.
That's you. Yeah.
And I will say that metal bands that were formed in 1988 were Cannibal Corpse, Mr. Big, Nine Inch Nails, and Smashing Pumpkins.
Well, two of those bands I'm a big fan of.
Mr. Big,
Would Smashing Pumpkins qualify as a metal formed band?
When they first came out, I think they were more metal than they were, what they ended up.
That's true. They moved into the grunge sound when that all happened.
Yeah, they sure. More evolved into grunge. They're like cocooned into grunge.
Yeah. As much as Nine Inch Nails moved into industrial.
Yeah.
Totally true. Some other albums from this year. We mentioned a couple of them. Tracy Chapman's self-titled album with Fast Car, as you mentioned. Bug, Dinosaur Jr., Fishbone, Truth and Soul, Jane's Addiction, Shocking, Living Color, Vivid, Morrissey, Viva Hate, My Bloody Valentine Isn't Anything, and REM's Green album, which made you stand in the place where you were.
Yep. And like I said, one of the things I wanted to bring up too, there's that song by White Lion called Wait. And it's not.
I almost forgot to love you. That one?
Yeah, it's not a good song. It hasn't aged well.
No, it's not.
And even at the time, it was a bit cheesy. However, I have a strange affection for that song. And it will be played in this episode. And it's all my fault because I still have a thing for that song.
Great. All right. Let's talk about some of the biggest singles of the year. Groovy Kind of Love, the cover by Phil Collins. Don't Worry, Be Happy. Bobby McFerrin, Always on My Mind. The Pet Shop Boys cover of the Willie Nelson song, Heaven is a Place on Earth, Linda Carlisle. Take Me to Your Heart. I think it's Taylor Dane, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then best-selling singles, Faith, Need You Tonight, Got My Mind Set on You, Never Gonna Give You Up. Boy, that could just be an A and a B side, couldn't it? And Sweet Child of Mine. Oh, mine, I should say. And then the top albums of the year, of course, Bad, which we mentioned a bunch of times, Faith by George Michael, You Can Dance, and Appetite for Destruction. Tell us about musical theater.
All right. So a musical theater, Bittersweet opened. Chess actually opened on Broadway and released a soundtrack. It was weird because there were songs that were not included on the concept album that were on the Broadway version because they'd gone through rewrites. So you kind of had to have both because to be a completist.
I was going to say, because it had been around for a while before.
It came out in 84. Yeah, it came out in 84.
Yeah.
So there were rewrites before it hit Broadway. Then Phantom and Serafina opened. And then as far as musical films go, Decline of Western Civilization Part 2, which is the story of heavy metal. Imagine, John Lennon, Moonwalker, Rattlin' Hum, Tapeheads, and Tougher Than Leather all opened.
That's cool. Tapeheads is such a great movie. John Cusack and Tim Robbins as a couple of music producers. Music video producers, and people forget that with everything great, like Say Anything and Better Off Dead and the Sure Thing. Mm-hmm. Her other nickname was the Big Easy. people forget about this little indie film he did called Tapeheads, which is really, really good.
I have never seen it. It's on a list that I want to see, but I've never seen it.
Well, maybe we watch it for our patrons.
Okay.
As one of our music movies. Let's get to our playlists. This is where we each pick a few songs that came out that year and that were instrumental to us, that were very meaningful to us. And listen, if it has 5 stars and a little heart next to it in my library, then it gets picked for this list. And there are a lot of them for me in this list. Let's get to my favorite, or the first one. These aren't, you know what? These are in no particular order, except the very, very last one. And I'll explain why. Number one, Under the Milky Way by The Church.
I got no time for private consultation. Under the Milky Way tonight. Wish I knew what you were looking
this thing for. Has just the beginning, is just this perfect chill out sound, and then it builds up at the end. And I always think of this song as being way earlier in the 80s than being 1988. I'm always surprised to think of this as a late 80s song, because I associate The Church and Unguarded Moment as being early 80s. And this feels like it came out on the same album, but no, it came out like 5 or 6 years later, which is just amazing. Crowded House, you know, I'd have to have a Crowded House song on here. Sister Madly is the one I picked from Temple of Low Men. Great, great second album from Crowded House. And really the album where they started to figure out the perfect balance of humorous lyric writing and clever lyric writing and that kind of barn-style music, that great New Zealand music that they were doing. Sister Madly is a great one because it's a song that when you hear them perform it live, or when you heard them perform it live back when Paul Hester was alive, it really made you feel like the band was having so much fun. The studio version's great, but I'm making Hammond play a little clip from the live version here because they always had some goofy fun with this song. It felt like the one where they could improv and do whatever they wanted in concert. And I saw them do the song a lot in concert. Third up is a song called Lonely Avenue by Gillan and Glover. Now, this is a cover of a song by Ray Charles.
Because of you, you know I could cry.
And it appeared on the soundtrack to Rain Man and got some decent airplay. This was a cover that I didn't even realize was a cover until years and years later, because again, it's so unique and sounds and has such a great new sound. I picked up the whole album that year. And it was in constant rotation in my vet.
And that's just one block over from Electric Avenue, right?
It's Lonely Avenue. It's totally true. It's the end of Lonely Street where Heartbreak Hotel is. Yeah, Gillan and Glover, by the way, two of the founding members of Deep Purple, who went out on their own and did and released this great solo album. And my vet, by the way, is a Chevette, not a Corvette. Fourth one on my list is Julian Cope. We talked about him. Teardrop Explodes was his band. He went solo and released an album this year. And it had this song on there called Charlotte Anne. And it's one of these perfect examples where you sing along with the song without knowing all the words, despite the fact that the actual title of the song are the words that you don't know, that you're mishearing and missinging along with. I had no idea. It's like, oh, he's singing Charlotte Anne. Okay. Fifth on my list is Fisherman's Blues by the Waterboys.
Tumbling on the seas, far away from dry land and its bitter memories.
Wonder Boys was this great rock band, 80s rock band from Ireland that Mike Scott put together. Really, it's this guy, Mike Scott, and this rotating, revolving door of other musicians that that he plays with. Although, if you've heard of the band World Party, a lot of members of the Water Boys, actually all the members of the Water Boys, let me rephrase that, all the members of World Party were members of the Water Boys, and they took their name from a song on the album Fisherman's Blues that features Fisherman's Blues. So there's a little connection right there.
And they brought them high quality H2O.
That's right. That was a very good Adam Sandler impersonation.
No, it wasn't.
Next up is Sam Brown. Speaking of a voice that you've probably heard and didn't know who it was, she is a background vocalist, or was a backing vocalist, for so many artists, including Pink Floyd. If you've heard their live version of Great Gig in the Sky from their Pulse release, that great CD that probably just stopped blinking the red LED light a few months ago when the battery finally wore down. She put out her first album and had this great single on it called Stop.
Now I find you lied, and I can't believe it's true. Wrapped in her arms, I see you across the street.
And it's one of those that's like, you hear it and you're like, oh my God, I totally remember that song. I forgot about how great it is. She's got this amazing vocal range that is probably like Sia level, not Sia level, but Sia level for 1988. Like, put her on par with Sia. Don't Call Me Baby. This was a song that was by a band called Voice of the Beehive. There's a couple sisters from California that joined up with members of Madness that weren't in the Madness, I think. Like, when Madness broke up, some of the former Madness members joined Voice of the Beehive. And they put out two or three really, really cool albums and then disappeared. Or not really disappeared, but then broke up and went off to do their own things. But their lyrics were super sarcastic. And what's even better was they were self-deprecating, which you didn't see a lot of female artists who are doing self-deprecating music in the late 80s, or in the 80s at all. Violent Femmes put out their album 3 in 88, and I love the song Nightmares. That album. 3 for me is their best album, and in a series of great, great albums. Violent Femmes are awesome. Speaking of awesome, Till Tuesday released their album. God, what was the album? It wasn't Coming Up Close. That was their greatest hits, but Believed You Were Lucky was the single from their 1988 album. Could be you just never felt that way. I wish you. And, you know, we knew from Voices Carry and Coming Up Close and The Other End of the Telescope, we knew that Amy Mann was just going to be huge, whether it was part of Till Tuesday or not. And this was, Believed You Were Lucky, is Till Tuesday's best song. Sorry, it's not Voices Carry. Buffalo by Stump. I made Hammond, I don't know if he ever watched it, but I gave him a link to watch the video of this band called Stump from from the UK. I want to have something really weird in my list that and this absolutely qualifies. This band, you know, is as much Primus as you're going to hear outside of the band Primus. And it's one of the weirdest things in my library, but for whatever reason, I just adore this band. If you have not seen this, and I'm sure you haven't, but if you haven't, go to YouTube, do a search for Buffalo by the band Stump and watch the video and just sit back and take it all in. It's the bunch of goofiest looking British guys. And this song is all about American tourists coming to the UK and asking how much are the fish and chips and how do I get off the bus? And it's all lyrics made up of stuff they must have heard American tourists say in the UK. I love it. That's 10. I had to have an 11th on here. And my pick was a song called Bring Me Edelweiss by a group called Edelweiss. That has as much SOS by ABBA as it does Last Night a DJ Saved My Life and all these other things. And in the deep dive, I found out that the same band that was responsible for Bring Me Edelweiss was also responsible for that that Doctor Who crossover song called Doctor and the TARDIS, where they take Blockbuster by Sweet and... And the Doctor Who theme, and there's like about 8 songs all mashed together, and it's all KLF. I didn't realize that KLF was like the band that put all that stuff together. Those guys put out a book called How to Make a The Manual How to Have a Number One the Easy Way. And it's because they documented the process of creating Doctor and the TARDIS, which is basically saying, yeah, you just basically put all these bits and pieces together from other really popular songs and you're set. Oh yeah, Gary Glitter's Rock and Roll Part 2 is in there. Yeah. Anyway.
I remember that one from my stint at the Ivy Tower.
Is Doctor and the TARDIS and Edelweiss.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They also went by the Justified Ancients of Moo Moo, which they kind of connected with Tammy Wynette when they did that song. I think it was just called Justified and Ancient.
Then they also did it for, they actually said that out loud in last Train to Transcentral, which the Blue Man Group co-opted for at the end of their show for a number of years.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yep.
Okay.
That's how I kind of rediscovered KLF, was thanks to the Blue Man Group.
That's amazing. Yeah. Good stuff. I mean, that's how you discovered Venus Hum, right?
Yep. Also, and frankly, that whole how to be have a number one without any work or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Very much like that tour theme of how to be a mega star or a rock star, the manual that they got. So I feel like they might have borrowed a lot from that stuff.
Yep. Totally is.
All right.
There you go.
So here's my list. And my list is going to be a little surprising just because of
me. Is it though?
I think in some ways it is. There's some odd things on here. So my first one I picked was Power Metal from Pantera. Now, Pantera released 2 albums and then went away, hid in a closet, beat each other up, lifted a lot of weights, did some drugs and came out and did Cowboys from Hell. Cowboys from Hell was this huge transition into what Pantera is now known for. But before, they were like 80s hair metal people, like total, like right on the cusp of Aquanet Central. And this is like 1988 metal. And I wanted to capture it just because no one's heard the early Pantera. Everyone knows the walk and the cemetery gates and the cowboys from hell and, you know, that kind of stuff. This is very different. It's still entertaining to me. The next one I picked was Just Like Paradise from David Lee Roth's Skyscraper. I picked this more because of the blissful guitar work that Steve Vai puts into it. This is just effortless guitar work from Steve Vai. But it's a great, fun, catchy pop song done by the guy that used to sing for Van Halen. And
you know what? And thinking about this song, I always thought it was a Van Halen song and not a David Lee Roth solo because it feels more like Van Halen than his other solo stuff did. Mm-hmm.
It's such a good song. And again, it's constantly on my phone. My kids know it. It's great. And like I said, a lot of it has to do with Steve Vai's guitar work. The next one I picked was Nightmare on My Street from DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince.
Now I have a story that I'd like to tell about this guy. You all know me and we're scared as hell. He comes to me at night after I call into bed. He's burnt up like a weenie and his name is Fred. He wears the same hat and sweater every single day. And even if it's hot outside, he wears it anyway. He's home when I'm awake.
The sense of humor on this album, the entire album, is legendary. And it really kind of solidified who Will Smith was going to be growing up and moving forward. And this album, I don't care if you like rap or not, this is an album that I feel like everyone should listen to at least once in their life, just because it's so funny and it's such a kind of a peek into the psyche of these two guys. Mm-hmm. But Nightmare on Elm Street's great because there's a lot of Nightmare on Elm Street references and it's really funny.
It is. I love that sense of humor they had.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I picked A Little Respect from Erasure. As much as I love power chords, big, fat, dancey synths also get me. And Erasure were the masters of big, fat, dancey synths in the 80s.
Yeah, they were. I actually almost pulled from the same album. I almost included on my list Chains of Love because it's such a great, great album.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's a classic album that they put out and it's a classic album of the era. I would say anyone who's interested in any kind of new wave at all should listen to this if they haven't yet.
Yeah.
I picked Operation Mindcrime. Now I'm only going to play the title track from it, but as far as the list is concerned, I'm picking the entire album.
I think that's totally allowed because I would have easily picked Crowded House's Temple of Low Men. So totally, I'm totally on board with that. I'm with you.
So you can flag me for cheating, but if you're going to enjoy one, you have to kind of enjoy the entire thing in its entirety.
No doubt.
So I will give you the theme song, but I will tell you to, not the theme song, the title track. I'll give you the title track, but I expect you all to listen to the whole thing.
I expect it.
Nice. My next one is Cult of Personality from Living Color from the album Vivid.
The Cult of Personality. I know your anger. I know your dreams. I've been everything you want to be. Oh, I'm the Cult of Personality.
This song still has tons and tons of listens on my phone to this day. The bodysuit in the video did not hold up very well, but the music sure as heck did.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about the music video. Oh, yeah. God, that guy had a voice, though.
Yeah, he did. And the guitar player, does. Vernon Reed, is a hell of a guitar player.
Vernon Reed, yeah.
I follow him on Twitter. He's great.
That's cool. Probably talked about different things than Richard Marx.
Probably. Here comes the surprise, though. Opposites Attract by Paula Abdul. I go to bed early. Make fun of me if you want. I don't really care.
Okay.
I really, really like this song and still kind of do. It's silly. It's fun. And if it's off of an album that was a monster, monster hit. And I would feel really dumb for not acknowledging the monsterness that this album was. This just happens to be my favorite song off that album. But we'd get things thrown at us if we didn't acknowledge what an absolute monster of an album this was for her.
And, you know, it was the first and last time that we ever heard the name DJ Scat Cat.
And I'm sad that that's the only time. I wish he had a whole solo album. He could have performed with NWA. It could have been really controversial.
Oh, would have been amazing. Would have been amazing.
My next one is I Want Out by Helloween. Halloween, it was my first kind of toes into the world of European power metal. And part one came out the year before in 87, and I loved it. But they kind of really hit their stride with me with part two. And there is so much good music. And I Want Out is kind of one of their anthems, one of those songs that everyone knows them for. So I chose I Want Out when there are so many others that I could have used, but I Want Out's a great song. Next one I picked is The Look by Roxette. Hitting like a hammer, she's a juvenile scam. Never was a quitter, tasted like a rain drop. She's got the look. A heavenly bomb, cause heaven's got a number when she's spinning me around. Kissing is a collar, a loving is a wild dog. She's got the look. She's got the look. This song and album, they're amazing. This is one of the best debut albums of the era. And this song was great. It had everything. It had great beat. It had good hooks. It had good, great lyrics. It was just catchy. It was such a great song.
It came out around the same time. This single came out around the same time as You've Got the Look, the mm-hmm. Prince and yep. Sheena Easton thing.
Yep.
And because of that, I confused those two. Constantly.
Yeah, I can see that. I can tell you too that this is a song that spawned one of my favorite covers of this song. It's called Swedish Goes Metal. And I love the cover. So find that. It's if you're interested, it's great. Mm-hmm. Then here's another surprise. Meet Me Halfway. In destiny. So the reason I picked this is I wish you
would take this show seriously, Hammond.
Look, I'm a huge Kenny Loggins fan. I'm a big, big Kenny Loggins fan. And when I was living in the dorms, when I moved in the dorm before I really had any money, I had like four cassettes. And one of them was this Back to Avalon one. And it had some really good stuff on there. But the reason I picked this one instead of other songs on that album was because this ties back into Giorgio Moroder. That we covered in episode one because he produced it.
Oh, wow.
Also, it's from the emotional masterpiece that is Over the Top.
Yeah, the emotional masterpiece.
You're right. I nearly killed myself on saliva.
Got all choked up on the emotional masterpiece of Meet Me Halfway.
Then I had to pick an 11. I picked 11 first. Brian copied me.
I totally did. True.
my next one is The Great Commandment by Camouflage.
Some people suppress you, they part you, and reap a disaster. Re-education for the infants who demand it for an innocent instance.
Now, Brian kind of pooped on this one because he said they were camouflaging themselves as Depeche Mode.
Yeah.
And they were. I'm not going to deny that. But this is still a fantastic pop song with a really good beat and chorus. And the melody line that leads into it is really, really good too. And I watched the video.
It's not just that the lead singer sounds like, I mean, they like their arrangement, their everything about them.
Yes. Yeah, no, they're not pretending to want to be Depeche Mode when they grow up. But other thing I wanted to bring up is I watched the video and I swear to you, the lead singer, or at least the guy in the video, looks like a young Matt Damon.
Wow.
Go pull it up. We have time. Go pull it up.
I'm pulling it up right now. Look at that. It kind of does.
It's like a 19-year-old Matt
with
Damon.
With a mop top.
Yeah.
Like a bad haircut Matt Damon.
the good barber the hunting. Great
commandment. Sound like Depeche Mode.
So those are my 11. That's 22 songs. Well, 22 songs, one album.
23, because I shoehorned two songs into my 11. But but really, Bring Me Edelweiss is the one I want to be able to hear. Yeah, that's a lot of stuff. Good 1988 year, and this is a good playlist, good total playlist for me.
So, what did you enjoy more, 1979 or 1988?
I think still 1979 was the biggest surprise for me doing the show. Is like, oh my god, I forgot so much great stuff. But 1988 is really damn close as far as it's up there.
Yeah.
Like this is a playlist that I'm going to rip to a CD so that Tina can keep it in her car because sometimes she doesn't use CarPlay and kind of getting a sound, a playlist to somebody can kind of be a pain in the butt sometimes.
You're going to put my songs on there for her? Little Scat Cat for Tina?
No, I'm going to put mine because I don't think she needs to have Halloween or Meet Me Halfway.
You love her too much, but Meet Me Halfway on there.
I love her too much to do that to her. Although definitely we'll have a little respect and I think I'll even throw Camouflage on there as well. All right. So that's going to do it for this episode of Soundography. Next week, Arthur Brown. This is an interesting one because I just know that he was involved with Jimi Hendrix's Fire. Maybe he did a cover of it.
No. That's different Fire.
He did the original.
The I Am the God of Hellfire.
Different Fire?
Yes.
Oh, I Am the God of Hell. That's exactly what it is. Okay. You know why? There's a cover that uses I Am the God of Hellfire at the beginning of a Jimi Hendrix Fire cover.
Yes.
Which is why I connect those two.
And Ozzy Osbourne covered that too. And when we did Ozzy, you're like, oh, I thought that was an Ozzy song. I'm like, nope, it's an Arthur Brown song.
That's right. Okay. All right. Cool. Well, there we go. That's the that's the connection there. Also, apparently the two, Arthur Brown and Jimi Hendrix, Jimi Hendrix wanted to start a band with Arthur Brown in 1969, but Brown turned him down.
Because Brown's
how crazy
weird.
Is that?
Brown, when you start reading about Arthur Brown, he was kind of a weird cat.
Oh, really? Great. I can't wait to, come on. I'm the God of Hellfire. You know, it's a...
Strange cat.
Great. Well, I can't wait to get into that business. But in the meantime, we want you to get in touch with us. Email us at soundographypodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. We are @TheSoundography. Our website, soundography.com. You can find everything there, previous episodes, and all the ways to listen to the show and support the show. Every playlist or every episode has a playlist that we connect to on Spotify. It has a link to Amazon where you can buy some of the stuff we talk about. I'm totally linking to Just Say Mal, by the way. Or Just Say Yo was the one that came out in 88.
Okay.
So look in there for used copies of Just Say Yo. And then, of course, a way to support the show. If you want to support the show on Patreon, you get goodies and you get extra episodes at least once a month. We're putting out a bonus episode that is just for patrons where we watch a music-related movie and talk about it. And those have been a lot of fun. I've discovered some cool stuff, as has Hammond that way. Of course, leave your reviews for Soundography anywhere you get your podcast, especially if it's a good review. If it's a bad review, just tell us and we'll say, oh, thanks, sorry. And we'll move on. But if you have a good review, put it where everyone can see it. Next week, Arthur Brown. And that's going to do it. On behalf of Hammond Chamberlain, this is Brian Ibbett saying, be here with us next time for another episode of Soundography. I should actually write up a close and put
here. Because I love the I love the improv almost saying Coverville every week.
I bet you do it. You know what? I think it's probably good material for the
well, it's good material for the end of the show. I'm not even, a lot of times I'm just leaving that in because it's funny.
That just about Soundography's it for tonight.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.